The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. And join us on a day where Nemo Rangers have been crowned Cork County Senior Football Champions. While Éire Óg have been crowned Premier Intermediate Football Champions. Reaction from both camps to come between now and 7 p.m. We'll also hear from Warren Abbey, who are crowned Munster Champions today with a cracking win over Ballymacarbery. So congratulations indeed to them as well. Also on the show tonight, we are going to talk to Graham Boylan, the Cork man in charge of Cage Warriors, as Europe's premier MMA promotion prepares to return to Leaside. And we're going to sit down with Garrod Morrissey, the Cork City midfielder, to talk about what went wrong in 2019 for the Rebel Army, plans for 2020, and plenty more as well. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. My name is Rory O'Hagan, here with you until 7 p.m. this evening. Kieran O'Regan is down in Porky Room. We'll hear from him in a bit on that fantastic Nemo Rangers win today as they beat Duhallow in the Cork County Senior Football Championship final. Finished 2-8 to 10 points in favour of Nemo Rangers. Their 21st title. Plenty of reaction to come from the Nemo camp. We'll start with their boss, Paul O'Donovan.
Yeah, look, I suppose the overriding sense at the moment is relief. I thought we made hard work of it there in the second half. We gave them a bit of momentum and they kept us coming at us wave after wave. Michal Martin made two brilliant saves. If you look at the scoreboard, we won by four. Those two saves actually won the game for us, so we're delighted. Our defence in the first half was outstanding as well, but we just need to work on seeing out games and playing for 60 minutes.
What do you think that was, that Duhallow just came back into it? Because you bossed the game for a lot of, well, most of the first half and part of the second half, and they just came back into it?
I suppose for 40 minutes you'd say we were on top. We got the first point in the second half, which we felt was important, but then I think we got up, we missed a couple of chances, we were a bit careless, we were a bit casual, we carried the ball into the tackle a couple of times, it got turned over, and Kevin Crowley ran at us a lot there in the second half. I think we invited him onto us a small bit, and when you invite a team like Duhallow, big strong men running at you hard, you're going to be hanging on then at the end.
Two fantastic goals from Luke Connolly, set up by Paul Kerrigan, another one, it was saved originally, but he got it into the net anyway. Yeah. They were fantastic, and they were the difference in the end as well.
They were the difference in the end. Like, we were kind of giving out to him before that, because we felt a couple of snapshots. Yeah. He took a snapshot of the goal, but like, Luke is a class player and he was the right man in the right place with the ball for the two goals.
You mentioned Michal, the saves obviously very important as well.
Yeah, in the last two games we were priding ourselves that we gave away no goal chances, and it isn't that we don't trust him, but he went in there on two massive saves. They were both going in like a lesser keeper there, we could have been in trouble.
Yeah. Obviously, look, you're very proud of the lads, but you can see the pitch is full of Nemo people at the moment. It's great time to be a club person. You'll obviously enjoy it.
I think we'll enjoy tonight. Big night in the club tonight, and we'll enjoy the next couple of days, and we get ready then for Munster.
Speaking of Munster, I know you're going to enjoy this first. Newcastle West in 2 weeks' time, they beat Rula by 6 points, I think it was. There'll be another tough task.
I don't know anything about them now, so I'd actually be lying. I've no idea about anything about them. If we can get a bit of video, we'll try and look at it in the next couple of weeks. Other than that, we'll just try and go out and we'll just have to front up and see what happens on the day.
Yeah, it's Paul Donovan there of Nemo speaking after their 21st County Championship win today, after that win over Duhallow. Luke Connolly scoring two goals today in quick succession in the first half, two good goals as well. He's been chatting with Kieran.
He goes there. Luke. Okay, match is just over, but obviously very happy, man.
Yeah. I suppose happy at the result. Performance wise, not happy at all. It's probably as bad as we've played this year. But look, I suppose a sign of a good team is winning ugly, and thankfully we've done that today.
You say that, but you were probably in charge of the game for probably 44, 45 minutes before Duhallow came back at it. No, they came close as well, yeah. I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose on the scoreboard, and it looked like we were on top. Look, we kind of hold ourselves at a higher standard than that. Even at half time, going in 2-6 to 2 points, we felt that we weren't playing. Definitely as a forward six, we were taking the wrong option, something we haven't been doing the past few weeks. But look, when you've got the likes of Michal and the six backs behind you, there's a lot of wayward shooting, and you're still going to be in the game with those guys there.
You mentioned Michal there, he pulled off some fantastic saves that were the difference in the end, I suppose.
Yeah, look, we pride ourselves this year on not letting shots in on Mihal, something that let us down last year, and the lads have done that fantastic. Today, a county final against a team like Duhallow, there was going to be opportunities there, but look, Mihal is one of the best in the business, definitely, and proved it again today, and he was outstanding at the end there.
Paul O'Donovan mentioned the other night at the press night, you know, that Nemo's scorers, we'll say, would have to step up. You certainly stepped up. Two fantastic goals, one of them superbly assisted by Paul Kerrigan, the other one, I think it was after a save, you doubled on it again, but fantastic goals as well.
Yeah, look, I was the right man in the right place. Like you said, the first one, Kerrigan done massive work, and I was at the end of it. Similar to what I would have said a lot of times 2 years ago, was that look, I was getting the end of great moves, so I was probably the lucky one there. And the second one was actually a terrible shot for me to begin with. I was very lucky, the ball came straight back at me and got on the end of it. But look, at the end of the day, two goals in the county final, I'm happy with that.
What does it mean to you and the rest of the lads?
Look, county finals, you're not there often. I know a club like Nemo, this is their 21st title, but look, realistically, you aren't there often. They're tough to get, they're getting even tougher. You look at Duhallow, 2 years in a row now, unfortunately losing, and I've no doubt they'll be there again for the next couple of years. They're a fantastic side, but look, it's massive. Each county, you hope there'll be more, but look, each county could be our last, so we need to enjoy everyone we win.
Yeah, we spoke to Paul during the week as well about, regardless of the result tonight, you were going to be playing in Munster Championship. Thankfully, you're going in as champions now to play Newcastle West of Limerick in 2 weeks' time. They won their county title today. I know you're going to celebrate this, obviously, but heads are going to be down again in a couple of days.
Yeah, look, we were in a funny position where we knew we were progressing regardless, but that's a dangerous place to be in, to know, for taking stuff for granted like that. So we're delighted to go in as champions, and we can all look forward to it. And yeah, look, we'll enjoy tonight, we'll enjoy tomorrow, and then look, we're going to have a right crack off this Munster title again.
Alright, joined now from our park, you're in by Kieran O'Regan, who's at both of today's games. Kieran, will start with the senior game, Nemo Rangers crowned champions for the 21st time today. It was a deserved win for Nemo, but I mean, like, they had to work hard for it, because that fight back from Duhallow in the second half was quality.
Yeah, the problem with that was that they probably let Duhallow back into it, so they kind of made work for themselves, you know. But Duhallow really did come back into it, and but like, Nemo played really, really strong. They were very strong for the first 45 minutes or so, and then Duhallow just came back in, but it was too late, I think, at that stage. The two goals from Luke Connolly in the first half, really the difference, and two fantastic saves from Micheál Martin.
Yeah, because I mean, like, Duhallow were 10 points down at half time, and you're thinking to yourself, right, this is a massive mountain for them to climb. Nemo looked very, very good indeed. They were doing a great job of disrupting Duhallow's puck or kickouts. Duhallow couldn't get any rhythm going. Then the second half, as you say, the first 15 minutes, more of the same, but Nemo just had that little bit of quality, I suppose, that experience of getting over the line that maybe Duhallow lacked.
Yeah, that's possibly it. Like, in fairness, the Nemo lads and the manager, Paul, said that was probably their worst game all year.
Yeah.
Which I wouldn't say was their worst game. They just let Duhallow into it too much. But they, like you mentioned, experience, they were just fantastic. The saves from Micheál Martin to deny Duhallow two certain goals really kept them in it. But like, even the experience of Paul Kerrigan, that first goal that Luke Connolly got, it was just class to watch it. Paul Kerrigan running through the pitch, saw that nobody was on Luke Connolly in on the edge of the big square, kicked it in, Luke Connolly into the corner of the net. Fantastic goal, but I suppose that bit of experience from Paul Kerrigan, not to, you know, have a pop, try and get a point out of it.
Yeah.
That's a bit second to wait and then pass it in. It was just it was fantastic to see. But yeah, I suppose the experience getting Nemo over the line in the end, making the right choices, because Duhallow could have been a bit better. A lot of wides, Aidan Walsh's 45s maybe let him down a small, but they were all dropping short. Very strange to see. He did make one absolutely fantastic catch out of the sky, but other than that, a lot of things went wrong for Duhallow.
And a lot of things did go right for Nemo as well. As you mentioned, Micheál A. Martin making two incredible saves. One, a fingertip flying save that looked really, really impressive. But the second one as well, laid on when Duhallow were in for a goal, getting down low to his right to keep that out, was a spectacular save.
They were great to actually watch them. You mentioned that one, just tipping it over the bar from Anthony O'Connor, I think it was. It was an absolute pile driver. And I don't know, did it take a tiny deflection on the way before it got to Micheál Martin? But just to it was like one of these saves you dream about making yourself. You'd never make them, but it's fantastic to see it. Just ever so slightly tipped it over the bar. And I think even at that stage, I would have thought anyway, up from our viewpoint, that was probably it for Duhallow. Because time was closing in on them, the score was, there was that difference in the score.
Yeah.
And, you know, they needed that to kind of go in. And then the second save as well, fantastic bullet point save to deny him. I think the game was kind of over at that. Even though Duhallow never gave up, they did keep going at it. They just left it way too late to go at it, you know.
Yeah, they certainly did, and it's Nemo now who will progress in Munster. And it was interesting on TG Carr afterwards, Micheál Martin was being interviewed, and he was reminded, I suppose, of the All-Ireland final defeat to Cora Finn last year and how much of a motivating factor that is for Nemo Rangers. They're not going to be happy with this county championship. They want an All-Ireland title.
Yeah, they certainly do. And they'd be kind of they were reluctant to talk about that Tuesday night at the presser, and kind of reluctant to talk about it tonight as well, which is understandable. They want to go and celebrate a county title. They're going to be thinking about the next match so soon, but they are going to be playing Newcastle West from Limerick in the Munster Championship after they beat Ula of Limerick, obviously, in the county final today by 6 points. They're a very, very strong, tough team, Newcastle West, and they'll certainly have their own ideas of driving on in Munster, but Nemo will. I think this is actually how the game ended up, if that makes sense, for them today against Duhallow will make them a better side against Newcastle West, because they left Duhallow back into it. They made maybe some uncharacteristic errors that they would normally make, and I think that's fantastic. Now going into this game, they'll be able to work on those, and it shouldn't happen again. Paul Donovan mentioned they don't know a whole pile about Newcastle West.
Yeah.
But they're going to have to do a bit of prep now. But I think you mentioned the All-Ireland. That was obviously very disappointing for them. They'll want to go all the way again, but they have a big, strong Newcastle West team before they can go any further than that.
Yeah, and they're certainly not going to be looking past that Newcastle West. So it's 21 titles now for Nemo Rangers out on their own in wins, no one near them. So congratulations to everyone at Nemo from us here on the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. The Premier Intermediate final saw Aire Óg defeat St Michael's in what looked like a ding-dong battle, point for point, score for score for the entire hour.
Certainly was, and you're just, Rory, you have to feel for Michaels.
Yeah.
It's their third loss in a row now at this stage in the county final. It's demoralising for them, and I think they had another loss 2 years before the first one there, so I think three losses in 5 years. But it was a ding-dong battle, but Aire Óg started off the better. Some fantastic play, standing up was the man that you'd expect to stand up was their captain, Daniel Goulden. I think he definitely got most of their scores, but not a lot of other players coming to the fore. Kevin Hallisey, before he was taken off, Brian Hurley, not to be mixed with the Cork senior Brian Hurley, but he played very well. And what was great to see was Kieran Sheehan coming in.
Yeah,
he did take one kick at goal, and there was a bit of a joke where we were sitting that, you know, I think he forgot he wasn't playing AFL, because if he was playing the Aussie rules, he probably would have got a point. It was so wide, he probably would have got a point for it. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case today. That was his first kick at goal. But he has come back in the last few weeks. I think he came back for the quarterfinal, played a few minutes in the semi-final, and played a small bit today as well. But they'll be glad to have him back in the team as well. But Cullum O'Callaghan, he was named on the bench to start, but he had a fantastic game, scoring a few points as well. Aire Óg just really bossed that game. St Michael's did kind of come back into it, but you could see just some of the way they were playing. They were off the pace. Aire Óg were that bit stronger, and Paddy Cassan is very strong coach, and I worked with him a long time ago in Cork GAA, and just it goes into the little tiny, the most minute detail on everything fitness wise, and he's a fantastic coach to have. And they mentioned it in the speech afterwards, and I think Daniel Golden mentioned it as well to me when he was talking, that the difference that Paddy has made to them. They're not sure if they're going to be able to keep him, because they think inter-county sides will want him for next year.
Yeah.
But Aire Óg just bossed that game. It was ding-dong, but Aire Óg, they were just that level ahead of St Michael's for the game.
Alright, Ciarán, we'll leave it there. Thanks very much. Hope you get warm there now after the freezing temperatures of Páirc you're in today, and we'll talk to you later.
I've the heating on and I'm going home to a nice warm fire later on.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers, Warren.
Thanks, Ciarán. Sounds like a plan. Ciarán O'Regan there down in Porcupine. Talking about today's games. We're going to get more reaction from Nemo before we talk about Éire Óg's, when we're going to hear from Nemo's Paul Kerrigan.
Paul, look, naturally delighted.
Yeah, absolutely overjoyed. It's probably the worst we played in the last three games. But still, a win's a win, and that's all. Like, they would have taken a 1-point win, so we're delighted, whatever it was in the end. So. Probably made a bit hard work of it, but sure, look, we'll take it.
You bossed most of that game until Duhallow came back into it towards the end.
Yeah, we kind of started to lose. They went for it and they put kind of Aidan Walsh to wing forward, thinking they had big men all over the place, or we kind of ran out of steam for 5 minutes and kind of we lost a few breaks. But luckily, look, we all made a fantastic save when they were on there, and he kept us in it. And look, we probably, as a forward unit, we spoke at half time, we didn't do enough, and we probably let our backs down today a bit. So look, we'll learn from it as well and we'll pick it up for the next day opening.
Spoke about it the other night at the presser. Obviously means a lot to you to get another title.
Yeah, you can't get enough of them now. Like, I think the record in the club is 9, so a bit one closer. But as I said, the next one is the most important one, so we'll enjoy the week. I think we're playing now again in a few weeks and we'll drive it on from there.
Yeah, 2 weeks against Newcastle West of Limerick, I think. Yeah. I know you'll obviously celebrate this, but you'll be back down.
Not even going to think about it till probably Wednesday. So, look after itself when we get there, and we'll do our analysation and prep for whoever we're playing. So, we'll enjoy the next couple of days.
It was particularly sweet after last year as well, Paul. I'd imagine we need a hangover maybe from Croke Park, and maybe he didn't play as well as he kind of went out a bit of a different to what you're used to.
Yeah, we went out in a bit of a whimper last year. Very disappointing, and fellas had probably had to have a good look at themselves. So, and I think the fellas came back in spades this year. We kind of had 5 under 21s come into our team, coming on and coming off, and fellas like Conor Horgan, Jack Horgan went to wing back, and Alan Dudman back from the cruciate. So look, it all kind of came together. We timed it well. So look, yeah, we're delighted how that went.
Yeah, it's Nemo Ford, Paul Kerrigan there speaking after today's win. I'm going to hear briefly from Nemo's Barry O'Driscoll.
Barry obviously very happy with that win.
Yeah, ecstatic. I don't know what else to say. Like, they're a very good team. We knew that. Like, they have talent throughout their team, so we knew we were going to have to push it. And you can see there towards the end, they were bossing the proceedings. So, like, it was very sketchy the last 10 minutes for us. But like, we're delighted. This is what we wanted to get, and we got here now. And we have been consistent all the way through. So we're just very happy.
Did you feel under pressure towards that? Because you were in control for most of the game.
We did feel under pressure, I suppose. But sure, that's going to happen. Like, you have your chances to get scores. We had ours. We probably could have got a few more. I'm going. we had our chances, and like they had theirs, and we just made the most of ours.
Fantastic.
We probably could have had two more, but sure, look, that's the way it is. We should talk to the rest of them. Unbelievable. I'm thrilled. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah, very happy Barry O'Driscoll there, talking to Ciarán. Ciarán getting a few words out of Barry after Nemo's success today. Congratulations to Nemo and very best of luck to them in the Munster Championship, whereas Ciarán mentioned they'll be playing Newcastle West in 2 weeks' time. Just to get you up to date on the Premier League, Norwich City pulled a goal back on Manchester United. Norwich City 1, Manchester United 3. Liverpool coming from behind, they lead Tottenham with 2-1. It's time added on, and Arsenal are taking on Crystal Palace, level at 2-2 is how that stands there, approaching full time. Alright, we are going to talk about Éire Óg's win today over St Michael's. Fantastic win for Éire Óg. Ciarán was there and spoke to Daniel Goulding.
Incredible, it's unbelievable. We've lost semi-finals here probably for the last 5 years, and look, today we didn't make it easy on ourselves, but we got there in the end. And look, and I started off here a group of the over 30s. We hadn't won a junior game, and I know we're going up senior A, and like, it's for all the hard work, everyone that's from 70 years of age to when they started off at 6 or 7, it's a tribute to everyone, all the hard work that's been done there. All,
yeah, it obviously means a huge amount to you and the rest of the lads.
Absolutely, look, we put our life and soul into it. We've, I suppose, through the years left games behind and not been probably as committed as a group as we should, but the last year or two we've really knuckled down, like, and every fella to a man, there's 35 or 6 fellas in that panel, and they all just put their heart and soul into it.
You were in control for most of that match, bar maybe a small spell from St Michael's when they came at you. Were you bothered or anything?
Be honest with you, I thought we didn't take advantage in the first half when we were on top. we turned over a lot of ball going forward. When, do you know what, if we tacked on another two or three scores, we might have made things way easier for ourselves. But look, it's the character of a good team. Last 5 minutes again, we kicked on and won it. And look, we've been doing that all year. We've been, Ahada should have been beaten, Newmarket probably should have been beaten, Bantry should have been beaten. There's just a never say die attitude in this team, and it's great.
You had Kieran Sheehan back this year. Well, he came in the latter stage, it was great to have him back, but also the inclusion of Paddy Cassan on the sideline.
Oh yeah, look, sure, we all know Kieran. I think the whole county is delighted to have Kieran back, not mind us. He's an unbelievable addition with the last 3 or 4 weeks, and I can't give Paddy Cassan enough praise. He's been incredible. The lads last year did amazing work, but Paddy would make a big addition to the county team, not mind the club team. And look, we were grateful that he came in this year. Might have a bit of trouble now getting him next year if we're in the same grade as Clyde.
You said it was like a dream come true for him, but is it the same for you?
Absolutely, I've dreamed days like this. Do you know, as I said, look, we've gone from junior to senior in the space of 14-15 years, and look, it's not down to any one person, it's down to the work rate of every single person in that club, the people that go down training, the under sixes and sevens, up to the fellas involved with us that just come down and set out the cones and stuff. Look, it's a group effort, and we're a huge club now, to be honest. There's big numbers there, but it's still a very family oriented club. It's great.
No doubt you'll celebrate this, but you've a Munster campaign to look forward to as well.
Yeah, I'd worry about that now in about a week's time, I think. Look, I suppose this is probably looking back the glass a bit, but we won a junior county 10 years ago, and we thought the world was our oyster as well, and we crashed out against Cashel. So look, I've no doubt we'll celebrate it for 4 or 5 days, and then it's back to the hard work again. I'm sure Paddy won't let us settle anyway.
People often ask if the county players, you know, who've won, had great success, the comparison between Munster club, is it too early to draw a comparison?
Be honest with you, it's whatever you win at the time. It's just been, I take any cup I could get, and like, I suppose my inter-county days are long gone, and this is my focus now, and it's been amazing to be part of that group of players there. Do you know, like, you couldn't ask for a better bunch. Just the work rate, effort, honesty out of them is incredible, and look, I'm just delighted we got a just award.
Yes, Daniel Goulden there speaking after Errol Oge's win. He heard a lot there about Paddy Cassan, the impact he's had on this Errol Oge team. Kieran's been in conversation with him.
I suppose it's probably all our games have been like that, probably, like, you know, where, yes, we've, I suppose, going back to maybe coming back with 3 points down, extra time to Ahada, like, when we came back, and I think, yes, it's probably been a team of all our games, like, I suppose. But it's all about every championship game. We're not going to play brilliant in every game, but it's about getting the result, like, you know. And, yes, you know, at times there, it was a bit nervous, but like, fellas stuck in, and some, I probably was to go out there in the second half, some great defending there around our D there, like, where we were under pressure, like, and yeah, just delighted for the lads, like, and they liked it, their dream, and you know, counties are hard to win, and
yeah, we'll take you back to the first round. You know, what have you learned along the way? You were beaten by Kilna Martra, but you regroup brilliantly.
I suppose it's just about the collective, like, you know. I suppose, you know, there's a lot of lads there, maybe a few lads wearing the red jersey in different levels or whatever, and you know, and but it's in the day, it's to win championships, like, it's a team, like, you know what I mean, and that's the big thing there, like, you know, whereas whether we're attacking or we're defending, it's a team, like. And if you look through it, all our games, like, we haven't relied on just one or two people, mm-hmm, to get the scores, like, you know, whereas maybe other years they might have, like, you know. And same defensively, like, different fellas are doing great jobs. I just overall, it's just a full buy into the team ethos, like, and
having come through the back door, the extra matches, did they count, Paddy?
I suppose, oh yeah, well, Kate, well, I suppose looking back now, it did count, like, you know. And I was even thinking, like, that, like, in the middle of June there, we were in danger of being relegated from Division 2 of the league, and we had 3 games we kind of had to win, like, and it was kind of, it nearly probably came from there, like, you know, something was on the line all the time, like. And look, right now, I'd say having the more games did help, like, mm-hmm, whereas, you know, like, you look at Neymar Rangers, the next day they're winning all the time, it doesn't seem to affect them, like. But then the day, though, it's just great memories.
I suppose having somebody like Kieran Sheehan to bring in, then he steadied the ship there at the end, didn't he?
Oh, he did, like. And even like, he's only back a couple of weeks from the last day down in Clonagilty against Bantry, like, when we were under a bit of a cautious, well, he came on to get everyone a great lift, like. And you see there, like, it's like winning ball, like, you know. Yes, sometimes, yeah, it's not about doing spectacular fancy things, like, but showing for the ball and winning the ball, and you know. And he was great there, like. And yeah, it's just great for him too, just back, like, you know. And he's back, you know, he's dreamed of winning a county when he left for Australia, like. I know he's back now, and it's just great for him, and yeah, great for him to play for the boys, to be honest.
Were you worried at any stage Michaels came back at you there?
look, I suppose we were like probably like we were probably under a small bit of pressure to kick out at times, like, you know, at the end of the day. But like, but overall, look, no, look, I suppose you're always a bit nervous, like, when there's not a whole lot in the game, like, you're going to be nervous, like. But like, but in the day, like, I couldn't fall, like, they've come back all the time, like, we've been in big holes there in some of the matches, and they've always came back. So I knew no matter what happened, these boys would keep fighting to the end, and the subs would have an impact, and you know. So I was never going, well, I might even the nervous guy in the line or running around like a lunatic. I would never doubt him, like.
Yeah.
I know, yeah, we'll have to try and plan for that. Look, but we'll let him enjoy that for a day or two,
yeah. Yeah, it's going to be some celebrations in Errolgan and Emoraine. Just my congratulations to both sides on their county successes today. Full time scores from the Premier League. Manchester United have won 3-1 away to Norwich. Liverpool have come from behind to beat Tottenham by 2-1. And Arsenal and Crystal Palace still going on 2-2 there is how that stands. Going to hear from Mornabby Crown Munster champions today with the win over Ballymacarbery of Waterford. Shane Ronayne's been in conversation with Rory.
And you've had some battles with this team, another one here today. They really, really put it up to you, but you came through in the end.
Yeah, look, an unbelievable game of football. I think, you know, end-to-end stuff. Everyone was, you know, it was gung-ho. Like, there was just huge scoring, you know, loads of goals, loads of excitement. You know, nothing less than I expected. You know, people were telling me, I heard on the radio yesterday, we were going to win easy. I was laughing going home in the car listening to that. I knew we weren't, because I know what this Ballymac team have, and, you know, they showed it today again, and, you know, there was never say die. Like, we went, they got a great start, and all of a sudden we went on top, we went 5 points up, and all of a sudden the game was back in the melting pot again. You know, they responded to it, and the second half they went 3 points up there, and you know, it wasn't looking great for us again. But in fairness to our ones, you know, they just responded. I thought, like, look, I don't know, I've seen individual displays, lots of good ones. I thought Kira's today was just one of the best I've ever seen in my life. You know,
Kira was absolutely outstanding from start to finish today. Like, coming up with big scores when you needed them.
Yeah, like, you know, she's not the most prolific scorer normally, like, but she I don't know what she got today. It was just outstanding, and but I suppose, look, all over the field the girls responded. Like, some of them weren't going well, but they dug deep and kept going, and I think there's great resilience in this team, and I think there was a lot of cool heads there, and we said it with 10 minutes to go, if we were in the game, you know, we had the cool heads and the girls with all Ireland medals in their back pocket, inter-county ones and the club one from last year, with great experience, that they could dig it out. And I think, look, girls came off the line, were brilliant. You know, everybody made a massive impact in it, and I'm just delighted, and I suppose relieved to get out here with the win, because you know, Ballymac have been, look, they're a fantastic club. They've given ladies football so much, and today I knew they were up for this today. You know, and you know, credit to them. Like, and I suppose, look, it's not easy going around there meeting people, you know, especially Lauren Fitz inside the goals, who was excellent today, and you know, she's a great girl. She's my county goalie with Tip, and not easy to see her upset, because you know, I know how much they put into it and how much she puts into it. So, look, but we're delighted. Look, we're one more step on the road, and I suppose, look, we're going to have to be better again the next day. But look, that's, I suppose, look, these finals are for winning, and if we can battle through two more games, you know, we'll be very happy with it. But look, we'll enjoy this, because 6 in a row Munsters is a great achievement, and look, we're very happy with it.
It is some achievement to come from nowhere to win 6 Cork first and then 6 Munsters. There's some going shame with this team.
Yeah, look, they're an incredible bunch. I suppose, look, they weren't very far away, I suppose, before we took over. You know, they'd been a bit unlucky, and I suppose, look, we tweaked a few things down through the years in the management, and you know, we brought new different people involved, and you know, the addition of Noel this year, and I suppose the younger players as well, there, Anna Ryan, Ashton Crone, and all these girls coming onto the panel, you know, has strengthened it. And I think, you know, we've you know, to achieve 6 in a row, I think, is phenomenal in the modern era, you know, in a province, like. And you know, it's very hard to do, and I, you know, when it'll be done again, I don't know. Will we do 7? You know, it'll be hard to do it, but it's going to be very hard to beat it, I think, in the modern era. And you know, we're delighted, we're very, very proud of the 6 in a row.
I've no doubt you celebrate this one, Shane, but it's going to be someday in down in Mornabby 2 weeks time, and all Ireland semi-finals, look forward to the home venue. It should be a great day down there.
Yeah, look, we're waiting, I suppose, you know, a few years to have a home game again. Of course, the cycle is back to Munster being at home, and I think it's going to be a fantastic game, whoever we play from either Termin or Dunamine. You know, two great teams who've beaten us. You know, Termin have beaten us the once we played them, and Dunamine have beaten us twice. You know, I think it's going to be a serious battle, and you know, we're looking forward to welcoming them down, and I'm sure there'll be a huge knock-knock following in Mornabby. You know, on that day there was a huge crowd there the last 2 years we were down there, you know, and I think, you know, it's going to be a wonderful occasion. And you know, the pitch is looking well in Mornabby. They're keeping it well, they're keeping everybody off it. So, you know, we're looking forward to that day, to being at home, and I suppose our supporters have gone all over the country for us, you know, and it's great to be able to have a home All-Ireland semi-final, and hopefully there'll be a huge crowd there.
I'm sure, no doubt, there'll be a little bit of celebrating through before that though first.
Yeah, look, we'll celebrate tonight, and we'll celebrate tomorrow, and look, we'll get back down to it again on Tuesday evening. We'll get the recovery work done, because look, it's a short turnaround, we've only 2 weeks to the next game. You know, so we've got to be ready, we've got to be right, you know, and we can't take anything for granted. And look, this bunch are so humble, they don't want to, you know, people will be telling us we're going to win games easy, but our crowd are just so humble, there. They never think that about, never go above the station. You know, they always think the best of the opposition, and our girls are, you know, they've got great respect for Ballymac, and they'll have great respect for Dunamine or Thurman, whoever we play. You know, that's the way they are, and that's the way they've been brought up, and that's the way the club operates. There's no one has egos inside in Moorabbin, and you know, and there's no egos in that dressing room either. And you know, it's going to be, you know, a tough battle again the next day, and we'll get them ready for it, and hopefully we'll be looking forward to another and finding in three or four weeks time.
Congratulations indeed to Moorabbin and their boss there, Shane O'Neill's conversation with Rory Noonan following today's win over Ballymacarbery in the Munster final. I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, going to talk to Cork City midfielder Garrod Morrissey and Cage Warriors boss Graham Boylan.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie. Big Red Bench.
Delighted you could join us on the Big Red Bench on this Sunday evening. If you missed any of our wrap-up of Aero Oak, of Nemo Rangers and of Moorabbin, you can get it on our podcast on redfm.ie just after 7 o'clock tonight. We are going to talk football. I know Garrod Morrissey, the Cork City midfielder, calling to me yesterday to sit down and reflect on 2019 and look ahead to 2020. It was a very good chat, very open and honest chat from Garrod, and this is my conversation with him. Alright, we're joined in studio by Cork City's Garrod Morrissey to look back on an eventful 2019 season, Gar. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're all frustrated with it, to be fair, like, and we're happy to see the back of it, like, you know.
Yeah.
We're happy to just get over the line there at the end, and just, you know, it was, I know we never really got fully dragged into a relegation battle, you couldn't call it, but it was so close there for a while, and the pressure just, it seemed to mount every week on week.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, considering like the success you've had for the last 4 years, I mean, like, to then go into like press conferences where we're saying the word relegation to you must have been such a shock to the system.
Oh, it was massive. It was weird because, you know, it's since John came in that time in 2013, it was like everything was positive. Like, the talk was always positive, even from everybody. It was like the momentum was always building, you know. And then we had the success, and it was constantly positive. And then even the following season, after we won the double, we were trying to retain it and trying to, you know, push on in Europe and stuff like that, and keep challenging Dundalk and things. So then to go from that to the relegation so quickly, it was almost like, it felt like a week, you know. Mm. What I mean? Like, because we still kind of had the, I suppose, I won't say swag or whatever, but you still had the kind of confidence of a team that should be up at the top of the table.
Yeah.
And then you look at the table, you're down at the bottom, you're saying, you know, it didn't match up. So we were like, this is how quick this has happened. It was tough. It was, do you know what? It was, the season itself was just a massive learning curve.
Yeah.
You know?
In what sense?
Just, I think, especially, like, I was going to say just for the young lads coming in, it was huge for them. But, like, even the more senior lads that were there, including myself, it was just, you know, just to, I think the next time anything close to that happens, comes close to happening again, like, you're maybe slipping or your standards could drop or any of that, I think you'll nip it in the bud fairly lively, like, instead of thinking, ah, next week be grand,
or it's someone else's job to do it.
Yeah, do you know, I think you'll be making sure other people do their jobs as well. Do you know, like, before, you kind of, you could almost just, with the caliber of player and the quality we had, you could just concentrate on yourself. But I think now, like, going forward, I think everybody around will be making sure everybody's doing their job, because nobody wants to get sucked back into that. And what I was saying about the young lads, like, it's not fair on them, like, what happened this season, because they should have been coming into games like previous years, like the Conor McCarthy got to do and stuff like that, you know, coming in when we were three up and playing the last 30 minutes and getting a feel for it and really enjoying Turner's Cross. But they were coming into the games and we were heavily they were coming in, we needed them to win us a game or defend the lead or just try and draw, see a game out. So it was massive pressure on them, so I've no doubt they're, like, they've grown up, I'd say, 5 years in that season, you know what I mean, in terms of football mentality and maturity and stuff. Because the demands putting them were, as I said, they weren't fair, but they would have done wonders for them now going forward. Like,
where did it all go wrong with John Caulfield?
I'm not sure. Like, I suppose when you look at it, when you look at the players we lost, like, the calibre of player, was Kieran Sadley or Jimmy Cahan, Stephen Beattie, you know, these type of players, Greg Bulger back then at that time, I don't think we ever replaced them, you know, and they're massive characters in a squad. And like, it is a chain, like you're only as strong as your weakest link, you know. So I think that's where it kind of started to go off a bit. I don't think them lads left, we didn't replace them, I don't think. Like, don't get me wrong, we brought in some good players, but they're, you know, you see Kieran Salley are ripping it up now in League One. Stephen Beattie's in Team of the Year in the USL in America, you know, and Jimmy Cahan just got a new deal at Rochdale. They're flying it, like Stephen Dooley. These fellas, like, they're top players, like, you know.
You can even argue never really replaced Shawny Maguire as well, yeah, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, and that was true too. I suppose you remember, it would have been unbelievable if you got someone near his quality again, like so soon. He's kind of, you know, you see it there, you see him once every so many years at a club, like, you know. But I think that was the difference in terms of staying. Like, it's grand to get there and win a double, but the difference, like the way Dundalk have done it and they've stayed there, like that 2014 that team, it's nearly the exact same team from 2014 to now. Whereas I know we've had, like, there's probably four or five lads, but our squad kind of changed massively every season, but we got in quality all the time. And I think this season it just didn't happen for whatever reason. And it always falls on the manager, you know what I mean? Yeah. No matter what happens, it's going to come down on the manager. And unfortunately, like, you know, John got the blunt end of it, I suppose. We were kind of protected from it in a way, like, you know. But so I felt bad to see John go. And then, like you say, in that season, you're losing the manager. Then Cots came in, you know, trying to put it together, and he done brilliant. You know, we all got on like a house on fire with him. Then, Neil Fenn came in, Cots has left. And then you're losing, there's so much going on, like, you know, in the club. And you're, on top of that, then you need to be getting results. And just, I think when you get, like, if you don't have that kind of the freedom to go and play, for any other reason other than just pure pressure, like, what happens is you start working too hard. And I think when you're working too hard, sometimes then it has the opposite effect. Things just seem to stop happening for you. Whereas if you have that little bit of looseness, you have room for a bit of creativity, pressure's off. But we didn't have that. It seemed to just, from the get-go, it seemed to just build and build and build, you know. From, I think we lost to Longford in
pre-season.
And from then, up in Mayfield, and from then it kind of went, and on a second, like, are we a bit off here or what? Like,
because, like, Caulfield went with a kind of a 3-5-2 in pre-season, didn't he? And then that Longford game came, and then kind of Longford kind of, like, basically tore you apart, and then he went back to his kind of traditional 4-4-2 after that.
That happened. I think probably in an ideal world, maybe if pre-season was longer, we could have kept it going, because that was a tough system to implement, you know. So, but it, like, it's really effective, but it's just you can train and do what you want shape wise, but you need games to kind of tweak it and be like, right, look at this game, see the video, see, like, you know, rotation in midfield, stuff like that, where the fullback's pushing on, and then how you recover, falling back into, like, your default position as defensively to get it back. So I think we just kind of, the season came on us too quick in terms of that, because we had John and Cots put in a lot of work with it, but we probably needed another while to tweak it a bit more, so that it was something we could actually go and do in a competitive game on a Friday night. Like,
when a manager gets sacked, and, like, as a professional and as a group of professionals, do you, like, feel responsibility that you didn't hold up your end of the bargain, that maybe you didn't work hard enough, or do you feel guilty over things like that?
Yeah, 100%. I remember the morning when it came out, I was just after dropping my wife to work, and I was on the way back. It was a Wednesday, we were off, so I was on the way back, and heard it then on the radio, and I was completely dumbfounded. I couldn't believe it. Like,
you had no clue whatsoever it was coming.
Like, you heard things, but then we had meetings with John, like, just team meetings and stuff, and he was just all, like, I've been at clubs before where you could smell it, the manager was going, and he knew, but, like, with John, I think, like, even after a couple of bad results and all that, he always was right, like, back to basics, boys. We're going to do this, this, and this. Everything was about what, just getting it better for the following week, for on the pitch. So we were totally, we trained Tuesday, training was fine, everything was the same. And then, you know, so John, at the end of training, John took us all in. He was like, right lads, that's it, trained really well, let's keep that going now and take your day off tomorrow, and we take it Thursday, we go again and we're ready to go on Friday. And then bam, Wednesday I woke up, heard that on the radio, then I was going, oh my god, like, this is, and like you said, the definitely guilt, like, because you have to look yourself in the mirror and go, like, do you know, did we do enough? Like, and like I said, there was a massive sense of guilt, I think, amongst us in a way. But like, when, as long as, like I said, yeah, I think it got to a stage where we were working too hard, like, and the pressure, it wasn't good, you know. It was things just weren't coming off for us, and I think that's mainly because of that. We kind of got our heads down and thought, let's work even harder, you know. And it's tough to take your head up out of that and analyse and have a look at it when you're in the thick of it, you know what I mean?
And as you said earlier, kind of, you now, you know that you should have, like, you wouldn't let things like that happen now. So if you knew then what you knew now, you all would have gotten together and said, lads, we have to do this a bit better.
100%. I think that's where you see senior players, you know, down through the years, I've seen them coming in, like, and there'd be a sharpness about them, you know, that you wouldn't have had, you don't have, and you can see all the lads with you, your pairs and stuff, they don't have it either, but you can see it with them because they've been through this. So like you said, if you could turn back the clock, 1000%, you would just, after that Longford game, or even, you know, before it, whatever, but as soon as that happened, we, like, as players, we probably should have, like, no matter, got ourselves together and said, like, this is not going to happen, we're not going to go through this, you know, we're going to nip it in the bud now. And I think we kind of, there was a, we were like, ah, we're like, in the back of our mind, we're a top team, like, you know, you're thinking, we just, you know, last season, you know, we got to the cup final, came second to Dundalk again, we're still up there, like, you know, it's just, it's going to be alright. And it turned out it wasn't alright, you know, like I said, look at the season that unfolded. And you know, happy now, like I said, going into next season is Premier Division club and all that. It's amazing how quickly you can be sucked into it if you don't have that awareness to nip it in the bud. Like,
when John Cotter came in, it was obviously a sense of continuity. Was there a feeling that maybe he was too similar to John Caulfield, or did he have his own ideas and did he try and do things differently?
No, John, like, when Cotts, when he was with John, you know, he was out and out coach, like, and he's one of the best coaches I've ever had, you know what I mean? He's in terms of putting time in after training with you, all that type of thing. So that was all, like, he done that week in, week out with us, you know. But then when he became the manager, he completely changed. He was the manager, you know what I mean? Like,
is that a hard transition? Because, I mean, like, you obviously know John Cotter is, like, the go-between between, like, he is the squad and the manager, and it's all very, very pally-pally and kind of, like, informal. But then when he comes to Gaffer, is it, like, very hard to make that transition for you? Like, kind of, like, did he feel kind of, like, different approaching him, kind of, like?
Yeah, there was definitely a difference, because, like, you know, I got on, like, a house on fire with John and with Cots, and you do, but I think that the onus is on you as a player as well, because you need to know, right, he's the boss now, like, so you there's a line there, like, you know, whereas before you might have, you know, like you said, it's pally-pally, you'll have a bit of crack, but I think when he's the boss, you have to pick and choose when to be pally-pally, and you have to know he's going doing a job here, like, you know, so you have to respect that, and then, you know, take it like that. And I think that's the best way to do it, really, you know, because it's a tough transition, because the coach is always, like, he's closer to the players than the manager, you know, and like you said, a go-between. For him to go from that to the boss was, it was a tough transition, I suppose, but I think he done it very well, you know.
It was a very hard situation to come into.
It was a terrible situation to come into, like, you know, and I think going forward, no doubt he's going to be, you know, he's going to be in football, I think, for the rest of his life, kind of thing. Because it'd be a shame if he wasn't, because he's, you know, he's that passionate about it and he loves it that much, you know. So,
were you surprised at the time he didn't get the job full time?
Yeah, I was, to be honest, because I thought it was, in my head, I thought it was just a natural progression. I thought it's just, you know, it's the way it was going to go. I didn't really question it, you know. And I remember then, kind of, as it got towards, it was kind of going on, and I knew the board were about to make a decision regarding the manager, but I didn't think anything other than, oh, it's going to be Cotts. Like, you know, he's coming, he was doing a good job, you know. And like we said, a terrible situation. It was a tough thing to come and try and get under control.
And his last game in charge was the cup game away to Galway, by which point I suppose the news about Neil Fenn had broken. Did that affect you going into that game? I mean, like, it must have like played on your minds, like, cause I think it was a Wednesday or Thursday it broke, and you had the game on the Friday.
Like, you know, I can't say or lie, like, it definitely did, you know. The like the training session before the game on a Friday is like where you get you're most tuned in. So like, you do your session, do your set pieces, shape, all of that, everything for the game, and then like even after training, like, you'd be chatting with the manager, you'd be chatting with players, like even going down the corridor after training, you'd be saying, look, tomorrow now, when he, like, you'd be talking, like, their fullback might try to do this, just chatting each other, getting each other tuned in and ready for the game, kind of thing. But because that was such massive news again, it completely took I don't think anybody mentioned anything about the Galway game the whole day on Thursday, or other than, like, obviously cots and stuff trying to get us going for it, but everybody was just chatting about that. And then even on the bus on the way up, it was just everybody on the back of the bus, whatever, just chatting about that, saying it was a shock, and it's tough to see anybody like lose their job, or that kind of a thing.
That was a particularly low point in the season, but looking back, did you have any high points? What was the highlight of the season?
The highlight of the season,
being Dundalk last week.
Yeah, you know what? That's probably it, because it gave us the feeling again of what we were used to. I didn't feel it all season, and then we won a game. We beat Dundalk, and even afterwards, because it was the last home game, going around to the fans, and
there was a proper atmosphere last week.
Proper atmosphere, and it felt like this is where we've always been.
What, like, it was like,
so it wasn't there all season, and then all the fans were as relieved as us, a bit of hope, a bit of, like, there's positives there to carry into next season. So I would say that.
Has Fenny spoken to you about your role for next season, what he expects from you for next season?
No, he hasn't. So I'd probably be due to sit down with him later next week and have a chat with him, and say, I think there's another few lads probably need to sit down with him and things like that, I think he might be busy with the pro license this week, or from Monday, so be later in the week, and just sit down and you always need to do that, like, just find out what's the plan going forward, and what's he thinking and stuff like that, you know.
It's a long old off season as well, like 3 months. I mean, like, how do you keep yourself fit and how do you keep yourself ready heading into?
Yeah, like, so this season more than any other season, I think it's crucial that, like, everybody, like, learn from it, from what's gone on this season, but forget about it. Take what you learn, take away, but forget about it. I think you just need to get rid of that season as quick as you can. So I think the next 2-3 weeks, I think it's important that the lads, go do things with their families, go away, don't even look at a football. I think it's massively important. So that's what I do. And then going into December, then you get back into it. Then again, you start going to gym, you start doing a bit of running, taking over, coming into pre-season then after Christmas in January. So that takes care of itself then.
Your wife must be delighted you'll have some free time together for a change.
Yeah, it's great. It's mad, the amount of stuff seem to be just dropping her off and telling him I can't go in, christenings now and things, just afters of things, and nights out and that with friends, you're just saying, look, so it is great to have November just to, like that, you're able to go places, do things, and just have a few cheat meals here, there and everywhere when you can.
Enjoy those cheat meals. Gareth, it's been a pleasure having you in, but thanks very much, and looking forward to next season.
Thanks very much, Roy, appreciate it.
Always a great pleasure having Gareth Morrissey, and very, very honest stuff as well from him as per usual. We're going to talk MMA to wrap up the show. Cage Warriors returning to Cork very, very soon indeed. Looking forward to their return. The last time they were in Cork, Conor McGregor was on the card, Joe Duffy was on the card, Kyle Pender was on the card. Who knows what future household names will be on the card this time on November 9th at the Neptune Stadium. Cork man Graham Boylan is the boss of Cage Warriors. I got him on the phone to talk to him about the event. Graham, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, boy. How are you?
I'm very well. Great to hear that Cork accent again, boy.
It's still there. It disappears sometimes and it comes back in. It just takes someone from Cork to twig it back in after 25 years gone. Still there strong.
So do you have to practice now before you come back to Leaside in a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'll have to call everyone at home for the week before just to make sure it fine tunes before I get off the boat.
Happy days, buddy. Come here, back in Cork after a long hiatus. Why has it taken so long to come back to Leaside?
We've been working hard on developing the brand in Europe. And the sport in Ireland since we've been developing the brand in Europe, the sport in Ireland, with all the regulations and stuff, has kind of died down a bit. Nobody's doing anything major. So I got a bit of a bee in my bonnet to come back and help all the young martial artists that have popped up that don't have the platform to get their skills shown. So we're going to come back and start developing the sport again like we did in the 2011-2012 era when we developed a bunch of UFC stars, and we're going to start doing it again this time around.
Yeah, because Cork and indeed Ireland was kind of a hotbed of MMA around then, and it certainly died off over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's partly due to, you know, Cage Warriors has mainly been in Europe. There hasn't been anyone step in to develop the sport like we used to. The UFC did a couple of shows, other organisations did a couple of shows, but nothing at a level where they're developing talent. So we stepped in on November the 9th, and then we plan to do another four in 2020.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, like, looking back in your last show in Cork a number of years ago, a memorable night for a number of reasons. Conor McGregor was on the card, but a lot of Irish fighters in the card as well.
Yeah, there was. You know, you had Kyle Penrith there, you had Chris Fields there, Ashley Daly, Joseph Duffy, all of which went on to the UFC. It was a historic show. Nobody knew the importance of that show back then when you look forward. But when you look back, you can see all those guys developed and honed their skills on Cage Warriors between the Cork show, the Dublin shows, the New Year's Eve shows back there. There was a whole wave of fighters that they were developed, and they were, their time in the octagon, in Cage Warriors octagon, was very important to them at that stage in their careers, which meant they went on to do bigger things in the future.
Like, how many guys have you sent to the UFC now?
Cage Warriors, I believe, are 93, number 93 signed with the UFC. Liverpool's Tom Aspinall signed with the UFC a couple of weeks ago. So that's the 93rd fighter from Cage Warriors to go to the UFC, which I don't believe there's another organization in the world that has that many athletes progress onto the UFC. It's the proven platform. If you do good on the Cage Warriors, you know, you're going to climb the ranks, and the next stop for you is the UFC.
For you personally, Graham, like, you must be very proud when you see one of the guys that you've seen come up the ranks in Cage Warriors step into a UFC octagon.
It's joy for us. It's a bittersweet. Obviously, we'd love to keep them longer. We'd love to keep them with us and grow them and grow the shows. But, you know, it's a happy trade-off between us. We get them in. We develop them. We see them grow. They go to the UFC, and they just show what we do by getting to the UFC. So it's a team effort between that athlete and organization. You know, we give them a platform. They develop. They go on. They speak about where they've come from, and in turn that comes back to us. So it's a win-win for everyone.
And as I mentioned last time we were in Cork, a number of those guys became household names, basically. So heading into this event in Cork, you don't know who's going to become a household name down the line.
Exactly. You know, you've got we've got a stacked up card for everybody in the city. You know, we've got another Cork boy from Barrack Street, Shane O'Neill, who's left our beautiful city and came over to London and worked in as a coach in the gyms over here. He's developing the amateur on the card for the show. Stephanie and Dina doing a pro card. So there'll be about 15 fights on the night, and that's going to go live from Neptune Stadium, broadcasted into 150 million homes around the world across 110 countries. So ticket-wise, I believe we're about a couple of hundred from the stadium being sold out.
That's incredible stuff. There's nothing quite like a packed Neptune Stadium on fight night for atmosphere, is there?
I've seen Neptune Stadium for a number of events, whether it be basketball, fight night, Muay Thai, whatever it is, and the atmosphere in that stadium. It's not the biggest stadium in the world, but the atmosphere in there with the Irish fans, when it's packed up, it's electric. It's a special atmosphere. So there's a big night coming, November 9th, and like I said, there's less than 200 tickets left on the website for sale.
So you don't want to leave it too late if you want to get your tickets. Just talk to me about the headliner, Graham, Rhys McKee, Hakon Foss. That's going to be an incredible fight.
Stylistically, it's a huge, huge fight, you know. Rhys McKee is and has all the potential to be a big star. Hakon Foss in Europe is kind of a huge target for Rhys to beat. But Hakon is this type of guy where he may win one or two, then he might lose one, then he might win one or two, and then he might lose one. His record is not what his style is. He's a very dangerous outside, super dynamic striker. And Rhys has got his hands got his hands full in Hakon. It's a huge test for him. But you know, Rhys gets past this, then he's putting himself into title contention in that division.
It's going to be an absolutely cracking night at Neptune Stadium. Thanks very much indeed for Cork's Graham Ball and for joining us, and looking forward to heading up to Neptune on November 9th to watch that card. We are out of time. Thanks very much indeed for tuning our way this evening, folks. Podcast online shortly. If you missed any of our Nemo, Airog or Mornabby coverage, it'll be on redfm.ie very, very shortly, and wherever you get your podcast from. Alan Donovan's up next with Green and Red. Enjoy the rest of your bank holiday Sunday. Enjoy the Jazz if you're heading out this evening, and we'll talk to you next Saturday at 6.
The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.